Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And come on and give God a hand clap of praise. I'm going to try that one more again, as the kids would say. Come on, let's really give God a hand clap of praise. Maybe this will help somebody. This hit me when I came out of the office. I want those of you that have a phone real fast to take it out. This is going to help you give God a praise. Sometimes we have to be reminded just how good God has been. Amen? Amen. And when you have it, I want you to go to your calculator real fast. Be the first time in surgery somebody to ask you to use your calculator. Oftentimes we'll say, we want you to post this. We want you to take a picture of this. This time I want you to calculate something. So this time we're going to calculate some praise. How about that? Will that work? I feel all right. You got your phone? Here's what I want you to do. How many days are in a year? 365. Go on and put that in there. 365. And we have 8 days left in the year. Isn't that right? So subtract out 8 days. Somebody give me your number. 357. If you would, go ahead and multiply that by 24. 8,500 what? 68. That's 8,568 opportunities for you to praise Him. Somebody gonna get it in a minute. See, some folks only made it to 5,000 hours. But everybody sitting in here today made it to 8,500 and how many days? 68 hours. And since you made it 8,568 hours, you ought to give God an 8,568 hour praise. Somebody still ain't got it. 8,568 hours. What you talking about? He's been that good to me for the last 8,000 hours. He's been real good. Been better than me than I've been to myself. And when I stop just for a moment, and I get to thinking about God, sometimes I just sit there and I go side to side. But y'all, this morning, I got to thinking about those days, those hours that God's been good to me. And when I got to thinking about it, I said, sometimes folk just need a reminder. Thank you, Holy Ghost. These devices will let you put a reminder in your phone. Am I right about it? The reminder will then tell you this. It says, remind me on this day 30 minutes before the event. Isn't that what a smartphone will do? Can I get three people that don't mind doing a quick reminder to yourself? And you remind yourself just how good God has been. That when you look to your left, He's been real good. And when you look to your right, He's been real good. You ought to remind yourself. See, sometimes here's what happens. You too busy telling your neighbor, God's been good. But if you would just tell yourself, God, you've been good. You know, that make everything all right. Praise the Lord. 8,568 hours that God's been good to me. See, there were some folks that didn't make it. Some made it to 3,000 hours.
Huh? And then there were some that made it to 7,000 hours. But those of us that are sitting right here, we made it to 8,568 hours. And when I think about it, there's many of songs that come to mind. There's one that says, somehow I made it. Through it all, I made it. Through heartache, I made it. Didn't see my way sometimes. But guess what? I made it. I was hurting down on the inside. But guess what? I still made it. But then there's a song that says, Lord, you've been good. You've been better to me than I've been to myself. I can't help but to praise you enough. Why? Because you've been so good. You've been so good. Does anybody know that God's been? God's been so good to me. Oh. My way, you've been. When I didn't have money in my pocket, God, you've been. When I had pain in my back, God, you've been. When death came by my house, God, you've praise the Lord. Amen. When I think about him, I can go on and on. Because when you have a relationship with the Lord, it's easy for you to talk about him. Huh? When it's something that you live every day, it's easy to talk about him. It's the same as your companion. For those of you that have a companion, it ought to be very easy for you to talk about your companion. Am I right about it? If you have active parents in your life and they've been in your life all along, it's easy to talk about your parents. Am I right about it? Well, God's been in my life a long time. Been in my life longer than I've been in his. And so therefore, it's easy for me to talk about just how good God is. And so what we've done for the last month, Pastor Jay has gone through a series talked about the different types of mindsets. And before I get in today's mindset, I just want to do a quick review of the seven that Pastor has already talked about. Amen? Watch this. He's talked about being simple-minded. He's talked about being double-minded and weak-minded and sick-minded and small-minded, closed-minded, high-minded. Am I right about it? And there's something about all those minds that there's been a day when the best of us have ended up in one or two of those categories. Am I talking right? See, even though we saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, we still have had some days when our mind hasn't been right. Am I right about it? And so for the last month, Pastor has talked to us and shared with us how to deal with each of those types of minds. Am I right? And so today, last Sunday as I was sitting in church, it hit me. It hit me that here we've dealt with these seven different types of minds. And it hit me that of those seven, at the end of the day, we got to have a right mind, y'all. We got to have a right mind. And what better time than now to have a right mind? It's not in my notes, but I want to share this because this time of year will cause folk second guessing their mind. They feel like because they don't have something to give, that it's a time that they don't care for, or they're less than a person. Am I right about it? And so what happens is life's pressures happens. When our children come back and they see us come back to school and they see us after they graduated high school and they graduated college, they'll come and they'll sit. And there was this one child that came back. She said, Mr. Holman, I was in a conference And she came to the front office, and my secretary said, "Mr. Holman, there's a child up here who wants to talk to you." I said, "I can't come right now, but have the child wait because I'm in an observation right now." The child waited for 45 minutes. Waited 45 minutes. This child had graduated high school. And she waited in that front office just to tell me. She said, "Mr. Holman, you remember all that stuff y'all used to tell us?" She said, "Bills are real." I said, "Yes, they are." I said, "Life happens, doesn't it?" She said, "Mr. Holman, you were so right." But then when they were in middle school, their mind just wasn't in the right place. Some of them wanted to be single mind. Some of them wanted to be weak mind. What a weak mind, because they want to do what everybody else is doing. We got grown folks that want to be doing what everybody else is doing. Just because they do it down the street and around the corner don't mean that you have to do it. Am I right about it? And so sometimes we put ourselves in a predicament that we put ourselves in and try to give the devil credit for. But it's time to have a right mind. Am I right about it? So let's look at this. We want to go into this of right mind. What does it mean to have a right mind? We've got to have an understanding of the main idea. The main idea is that is to understand the importance of having and maintaining a right mind. It says the mind of Christ is one, the mind of victory, and then the mind of peace. We're going to hit those three things about having a right mind. Are you with me? So let's look just for a second that when we think about this right mind, we got to understand, what does a right mind mean? And as I heard my wife say this morning, she said, "You know, my wife, she's about done got like me. We like to look up stuff to see exactly what does it mean when it says something." And according to different psychologists and things, they give a definition to this. It says a fixed mental attitude or disposition that then predetermines a person's responses to situations and interpretations of situations. Think about any type of situation that you've had to arise, and you think about, if you don't have the right attitude and the right mindset, you're liable to look at a thing differently than what it really is. Am I right about it? And so when you look at this, we want to hone in on three different key points about having a right mind. So point number one is this. We want to have the mind of Christ. In this, if you'll go to the book, Philippians 2 and 5, the Word of God reads as follows. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Let me read it again. "Let this mind." Apparently, there was another mind before this one. Am I right about it? Because he then says, "Let this mind." See, sometimes we've been operating on this type of mind when we really need to be on the right mind. And that's the mind of Christ. So Paul here is using this exhortation to tell the people of God, "Let the mind be in you, which is also in Christ." That means the very thinking that Jesus Christ does. That's how we should operate. We spend too much time wanting to be like everybody else, but the right person. And that's Jesus Christ. When you think about social media, when you think about the news that you see every day, it is easy to get wrapped up into what we call thing called life. But in life, there are going to be times that trouble is going to come. Am I right about it? There are going to be times when you can't see your way. There are going to be times when you just want to give up. The best of us sometimes want to give up. But that's because our mind has shifted away from having a right mind. And Paul proceeds in his chapter by saying, he left off here talking about this. He said, "Further, this exhortation is for Christian duties." Watch this, y'all. If we're going to be in church, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be child of the King, then we have an obligation that our lifestyle exemplifies that of Christ. Because as they often used to tell me when I was in Sunday school growing up, that you may be the only Jesus that someone would ever see. So if you are a reflection of Him, How are you looking? Huh? If someone were to come up to you and talk to you about a thing, how can you respond if you don't have the mind of Christ? So what does it mean to have a mind of Christ? Simply put, it means to think and to act like Jesus. It means to bring Christ-like decisions that determine how we are to live. It's not hard to live. We live according to the Word of God. What makes it hard is when we start deviating from the Word. Am I right about it? Another thing that we have to have a mind like Christ is we have to bear resemblance of his life. Think about it just for a second. If all a person see is you, what are they really seeing outside Sunday morning? Pause. Let that soak. Because the best of us can put on the best on Sunday. Am I right about it? The best of us in front of all the leaders can put on the best. But let situation happen outside of Sunday morning. Huh? Monday morning is going to come. Am I right about it? That if you wake up Monday morning is going to meet you real good. And before you leave, how many of you know that grown folk can act up? Huh? And how many of you know that your kids can act up? Huh? And when you start having acting up kids and acting up grown folk, you got a situation on your hand. Am I right about it? So we have to resemble his life. We have to be like-minded as Christ was, walking in the same spirit and in the same steps. In other words, watch this. I can recall Sunday after Sunday when Pastor Jay has made this profound statement. He says this. He says, if you have it, God can handle it. Said, if it's broken, guess what? God can sure enough fix it. Huh? He says, if he got you in it, he can bring you out of it. Then I hear the seasoned saints when they say, I've learned to not call folk old saints. I've learned to call them the seasoned saints. The seasoned saints would say things like, I've got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Well, see, those seasoned saints could say, I got a feeling that everything's going to be all right because their mind was right. Huh? Their mind was in the right place. And so they can sing those types of songs that though the storm keeps on raging. Huh? That I know that God is going to be an anchor. Am I right about it? Then I hear them saying, Lord, I believe. What do I believe? That you sit high and God, you look low. That there's nothing too hard for you to handle. And since I know that, then if I stay in the mind of Christ, watch this. Not knowing the word is not good, but knowing the word is what we got to have. And if you know the word, it's not enough to know it and then not apply it. Watch this. I hear Pastor Jay say oftentimes, what good is it for you to have all the answers and nobody asks you any questions? Huh? We got to have a mind of Christ where we apply the word, and not only do we apply the word, but adapt the word. Because what do you mean by adapt the word? That you have to adapt the word in every situation. Because there are going to be situations that's going to happen on your job. Right? And it's not that you can't go on your job speaking in tongue. But God does things in decent and in order. And sometimes all you have to do is just get up from your cubicle and start walking around and say to yourself, Self, I know from whence my help come. My help coming from the Lord. You have to remind yourself of what the words say in tight situations. That's how you adapt the word. Am I right about it? But then the other thing about having the mind of Christ is, when you have the mind of Christ, you are focused on kingdom building. So with that, I want to go here. Matthew 13 and 31. We know this parable because we've read it, we've heard it, we've seen it. It says, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Which indeed in least of all is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, It is the greatest among the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now you read that and you think, okay, mustard seed, whatever. Let me read it one more time for you. It says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all things. What happens is sometimes folk don't want the small because it doesn't look like it's a whole lot. But how many of you know that God will take a small thing and he'll turn a situation all around? But it takes some time to get from small to large. What are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. He said the man had the seed. It's like taking a seed and then planting it in the field. Am I right about it? Now what happens is he had to have a mind to do this. And so he took this seed, or we can take this seed and we plant this seed. And it's small from the beginning. But how many know over time, if you just hang on and hold out, the tree is going to come. And when that tree comes, watch this, it says that when it is grown, there's something about leaving your childhood and becoming grown. The Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I become old, I put away what? Childish things. So here we have, but it is grown and has come and is the greatest of all herbs. From the smallest, I'm now the largest. I'm so large that the birds in the air want to come lodge with me. So what is it? Watch this. What is it about your faith level or your belief in the power of God that causes people to want to come and lodge with you? Because as the seed matures, it matures into a tree. And once it gets large, then what happens? The birds from the air find residence. Huh? They find residence in that thing that used to be small in man's eye, but it was precious in its eye. Am I right about it? So then when we look at this, we look at from having the mind of Christ, then you go into this, a mind of victory. I want you to turn to me, Psalms 34 and 19. I want you to read this with me. When you have it, say amen. Psalms 34 and 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them all. When you think about the word afflictions, you think about a whole lot of different things. Pain, distress, misery, causing a mental anguish. When you think about adversity and depression and hardship and suffering. But then the last one, it says trials, tribulations, and trouble. But the words say many are the afflictions of the righteous. That if I live a righteous life, that I understand that afflictions are going to come. And so they're going to come, but the Lord does what? Delivereth them all. So in other words, when my afflictions come, those of us that are righteous can say, whatever come, let it come. Because I am well equipped down on the inside that my God will deliver them all. So then it says here, when you think about it, the word of God in Job 14 and 1 says this, a man is born of a woman and is of a few days full of trouble. And so when I looked at that verse, y'all, it said a man that is born of a woman is of a few days. It didn't say was going to have some trouble, but it said full of trouble. Not a little bit of trouble, but a whole lot of trouble. And trouble is not going to take a long time to come. Because it said, but just a few days, he's full of trouble. But how many of you know that trouble don't last always? That weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, you can only say that, you can only sing that if you believe that. A lot of times we want to sing and say a whole lot and not believe half of what we're singing and saying. And then wonder why God ain't moving. Well, let me stop by to tell you this. God showed up, but you were too preoccupied to see when he was there. A lot of time God will stop by your home. And because you were too busy doing something else, you miss what God brought to you on that day. And it says, but a few days is full of trouble. But then here's the good news. But the Lord, not mama them, not daddy them, not grandmama them, not cousin down the street. But I can go to God. And if the seasoned saints used to sing a song that if I could have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about our troubles, then they would say he would hear my famous cry, and he would then what? Answer. By and by. Just have a little talk with Jesus. Not have a little talk with Facebook. Not have a little talk with the neighbor. Not have a little talk with the person in your cubicle right beside you. Because how many of you know that folk will add to your story and they will take away from your story? That when it gets back to you, it is a fictitious novel. Am I right about it? So it says this. So when we look at this, we have to be able to endure what God has for us, y'all. A right mind is the mind that we must have. One, a mind of Christ. One, a mind of victory. What is it? That in the midst of the battles that you go through, if you shout through the battle, if you shout through the battle, then you know that on the other side of it, everything is going to continue to be all right. Because why? I don't praise God when I get it. I praise God before I get it. So that when I do get it, I can enjoy it. Huh? See, we've had it back because we wait till we get it and then start praising God. But I praise God now for the healing that's going to take place in my brother. Huh? I praise God now for the release of the prison cells that my brother's going to come out of. That's, I praise God now. Not tomorrow, but now. And then the very last one is a mind of peace. Y'all, this is probably one of my most favorite things about living for the Lord. That you stay in peace with God. I tell people all the time, people get hung up on cars and houses and jobs and money. And those people who have been around me, they'll tell you, one thing that I love more than anything is peace. I'll take peace quicker than I'll take a dollar bill. I'll take peace quicker than I will a nice meal. Because a peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. The word of God in Isaiah says this. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. When you have a right mind, things can come, things can happen, but there's something about knowing how the power of God can make a thing right. There's something knowing about how the power of God will cause a thing to hush. There's something about the power of God that will cause the crooked spine to straighten up. There's something about the power of God that will cause disease to stand still. There's something about the power of God that when everybody else is walking around with their head down, you can walk around with your head up because you know in who you serve and who you believe. That is not in our hands. That's in our mind. When you have it in your mind, things can come and it don't rattle you. When you have a mind of peace, here's what you got to remember. That you may bend, but you won't break. Because a person with a peace of mind, A person that has the mind of God, a person that has a mind of victory, is past this ground surface, but is rooted. Watch this. If I were to stand right here right now and have people to come and push me over, I'd fall right over. But if I dug a hole and I got a little deep off in it, now imagine all of this to my knees is now covered. That means I'm now rooted and grounded. What happens is the deeper that I'm in a thing, the greater my reward is from God. Because people are going to come to try to get at you. But how many of you know God has the last say so? And it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. When the kids are not acting right, God is peace. When, as they say, as the seasoned saints will say, when my money acting funny, the peace of God surpasses all understanding, right? But then watch this. It says this in Philippians 4, verse 7 through 9. I'm coming to a close. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Then it says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, think about it. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. It says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, it says, think on these things. When you think about this, that scripture alone, every day of your life as you're going through, because watch this, because we live in a human fleshly body, situations going to come. Trials and tribulations are going to come. Let me put y'all in on a secret. We as Christians of God are not exempt from being tried. The best of us are going to go through. But here's what I tell my students. It's not the situation that matters. It's how you respond to the situation. When you have a mind of Christ, and when you have a mind of victory, and when you have a mind of peace, things can come at you and it won't rattle you. You say, oh, Holman, how do you do such a thing? I heard Chaplain Sanders say years ago, and it has stuck with me, and I carry it with me everywhere I go. He said, I learned to live in my now. Think about this, y'all. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. All you have is right now. Right now, I've got the opportunity to give God a praise that's worthy of 8,568 opportunities. Am I right about it? Right now, I have it. Tomorrow may not come. But if it come, then I can add another 24 hours to the 8,568. And that gives me more reason to praise. So here's what I challenge you to do. The next time someone asks you to give God a hand clap of praise, get that number in your head. And you can say, I know I have at least 8,568, especially if I live to see next Sunday, or especially if I live to see tomorrow. Y'all, serving God is not complex. It's very simple. It's a very simple thing. And as you are rested on your feet, and as you're thinking about what God has done on your behalf, I want you to ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, based on Philippians 4, 7, and 9, do I focus on things that are true? Do I focus on things that are honest? Do I focus on things that are just and things that are pure? This is word. What we tend to focus on is what folks are saying about us. Or what I don't have. Or what I used to have and I no longer have. But the words say focus on these things. Whatsoever things are true. What's true? That Jesus loves me. How do I know? For the Bible tells me so. Whatsoever things are honest. What is honest? How he loves me. How he loves me. And if he loves me and you still here, that tells me he's just to love you like he loves me. A right mind. I move away from my double mind. For the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable. Is unstable. So if I know that the word tells me that I can't have two minds, why not have the one that's right? A right mind is one that's pure. A right mind is one that is honest. A right mind is one that is full of praise. So as you take this moment to reflect just for a moment, ask yourself this, where am I with my mind with Christ? Yes, it's the holiday season and people want to give, give, give. But what if you gave your life to say, Lord, no longer can I live the way I've been living. God, no longer can I act the way that I've been acting. That's the kind of God that we serve. A God that sits high and looks low. A God that knows your name. That he can answer every single prayer when we all speak at one time. Watch this. I just want everybody, that those that want to look up toward heaven and say, God. That's it. Just when you did that, he distinguished your voice. From your neighbor. That's how important you are to God. That we can say God all at the same time. And he answers every last one of us. We're here, those of you, as we're praying, all heads bowed, eyes closed. There may be one that says, you know, not another day. Not another day. That when I think about these last 8,568 hours, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. I'm so far behind on my praise that I got to pause right now and say, God, I thank you. Why? Because, God, you keep making a way. And as we're praying, there may be that one that does not have their life right with Christ. And you say to yourself, today is it. All you have to do is just slip your hand. And then we'll repeat, Lord, forgive me for I've sinned. I accept you now, Jesus, to be the Savior of my life. Huh? God knows and he cares about you. He so cares about you enough, hallelujah, that even before you ask, he's already ready to respond. God, we thank you now for being God. God, we thank you for your power. God, we thank you for having a right mind. A mind of Christ, oh God. A mind of victory, God. And a mind of peace. God, whatever you do, don't take your joy and your peace away from me, oh God. God, keep me in the safety of your arms. God, have your way in our lives right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done right now. Bless us now. And keep us, oh God, In the mighty name of Jesus, let the redeemer of the Lord say, amen. Now come on and give God a hand clap of praise.